everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
Excellent. Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and I've experienced something all day today. I don't know if you're experiencing this. I think you are based on how the first couple songs went, and that is, it just seems like nobody has energy this morning. Like, it just seems like everybody's just walking in here like, I made it. I don't know if it's because it was beautiful all weekend and you're just going hard and you're run down, or because the weather this morning just got to you. I don't know what it is, but we're not going through the morning like this. I know you already said hello to the people around you, but go ahead and stand up. Give a couple people a high five. Let's get some energy going in here. Let's go. All right, there you go. Excellent. Excellent. I knew it was in there, it just needed to get out. You can have a seat. If you weren't with us last week, we kicked off this brand new conversation called Dating Apps, and we walked through week one. And one of the things that we're doing as we move through this, because we're having a lot of fun with this series, is that I've asked the band each week to bring us a song that introduces kind of how culture is engaging with the topic that we're gonna be walking through. I think this is critical, because I think it's important that we understand how the world around us is engaging this. And then what we've been doing and what we're going to be doing through this series is we're going to be looking at, okay, how do we typically look at this? And then how does God call us to look at or engage this? Now, as we've done that, I've had a couple of people ask, not me, they don't come talk to me, they talk to other staff members, but a couple of people have come and asked, I don't know about doing secular songs in church. Now, I want to talk about this because usually I just be like, okay, we're going to. But I want to address this because of the fact that in about 2 months, we're going to be opening a new space, or within the next 2 months. It's very, very close to being completed, and we're really excited about that. Now, here's how the two are connected. I want to make sure that when we walk into that space, you don't think of that space as the church. And we've said this from the beginning of this conversation. We're not building a temple. We're building a tool. Not building a temple. We're building a tool. This is a space that we're going to be able to use to impact the community. And more significantly, more importantly, it's important for you to know, God doesn't dwell in a temple made by human hands. We talked about this as we moved through the book of Ephesians, where it said, no, you are the temple. The temple is not a static place. There's a massive shift from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The temple is not a static place where God dwells. He says, no, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and now my temple moves, and you're going to take me to the world. And so it's important that we don't look at a building as the church. No, we collectively, we are the church. And maybe in your life you think, well, you know what, if I'm the temple of God, then I should never engage anything that's written by or created by someone who's not a follower of Jesus. I don't think that's what God calls us to at all. I think God calls us to incarnate. Paul actually says this. He says, to the Jew I became a Jew, to the Gentile I became a Gentile. He actually steps into their culture. He engages their culture. In Acts, when he's talking to the individuals in Athens, he quotes their poets, their songwriters. Because he wants to say, okay, and this is what God has taught us how to do. How to be able to step in and say, okay, Jesus says it this way. He said, you've heard it said, and then he talks about, you've heard it said. In other words, this is the way culture is talking about it, but this is the way God calls us to actually engage it. And so what I love to be able to do as a communicator is to be able to use music to do that, for you to be able to see, okay, this is the way our culture is talking about it, and then how does God call us to talk about it? There's another reason why I love to do this, and I've never said this from stage until first service today. And that is this. I love to be able to attach the truth of how God loves you to songs that you hear all the time. So I love the fact that coming out of Easter, every time you hear Antihero, you're gonna be reminded of the fact that Jesus gave his life for you to be resurrected. I love that. I love it. I love it. And I love the fact that you're gonna hear it in an elevator and you're gonna be reminded of God's love. You're gonna hear it in a grocery store and you're gonna be reminded of God's love. It's another way that we, I think, can help each other to love both him and others better. Now today, we're gonna be walking through the conversation of who. Who is it that we pursue? And so I asked the band to bring us a song that kind of captures how culture looks at, okay, who should I pursue, or what should that relationship look like? So check it out. All right, as I said, last week we started this off and we looked at being satisfied single. And as we come together today and as we build on that, I want to go back really quickly, just for those of you who weren't here, and also to remind us why this is so significant. Because remember, we saw last week in John chapter 13 that Jesus says this about those of us who are his followers. He says, "By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And all of us want to love. We want to be in a relationship where we're loved. We want to love. But then for those of us who are followers of Jesus, Jesus takes us to a whole different level and says, listen, this is going to be your defining characteristic. Not only is this naturally significant to you, and I know some of you aren't there yet. You're trying to figure out this Jesus thing and who he is and whether or not you can trust him. But one of the things I know is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, that this is important to all of us, that we understand love. But one of the things that Jesus wants to do in your life, one of the things that he's inviting you into, is that he wants for you to experience his love, and he wants to teach you how to be able to love better. And he says, when you step into this relationship with him, that's what he is working to do. He wants for you to know how to love better, and this is what should set us apart. And so if we're going to do that, if we're going to live that out, then we have to figure out, okay, when it comes to this dating thing, how do we do that well? How do we love well through that? And again, this is a principles conversation. This is not an examples conversation. We don't come to Scripture and find examples of how to date well. There's no examples because it's a new construct. But there are all these principles. And so what we're doing as we move through this series is we're looking at these different principles and asking, okay, how does that apply to dating? How does that apply? And it applies to relationships in all different ways. And no matter where you are in relationship, you'll be able to see how this applies. But specifically, we're looking at how does that apply to dating so that we can love well. And last week we started off and we looked at this reality that God calls us to be able to be satisfied single. And this reality that if you're not satisfied single, you're never going to be satisfied married. But that he wants for us to not be completed by someone else, but actually to be completed by him, and then to engage community, to love others. He says, this is what I want for you to experience. This is what I want for community to look like. This is the foundation of love. No, I'm receiving from him. I'm completed by him, and then I love others. But just because you're satisfied single doesn't mean that you don't want to be married or that you don't want to be in a romantic relationship. And so the question then is, okay, I understand that I want to work to be satisfied single, that he completes me, I'm experiencing from him so that I can give to others, not that I need from someone else. I understand that. But then who should, if I do want to pursue that committed relationship, if I do want to pursue being married, then what should that look like? And specifically, who is it that I should pursue? And that's what I want to be able to walk through as we move through this morning. Who? And what are the principles that speak to who? Now, obviously, coming out of last week, we realized that all of last week applies to who it is that I should pursue. Because if we understand, and this is principle number one, great relationships are experienced by someone who is satisfied single. If we understand this reality, that great relationships are experienced by someone who's satisfied single, then we realize naturally the result of everything we talked about last week is that we would pursue individuals who are satisfied single. So you're looking for, as you begin to ask the question, well, who is it that I should pursue? One of the first things you should be looking for is someone who's satisfied single. Now, the application of that is this. You have to live in community where you'll see this in the lives of others. You have to live in community, and we talked about community so much last week, but again, you see the significance of it. You have to live in community where you see this in the life of others, where you can actually see, are they satisfied single? And a big part of that is, are they in community? I'm not against dating apps, but one of the really tricky things about dating apps is that you don't get to see them in community. And so if you're gonna use dating apps, one of the things that you should take very seriously is that you don't get serious in dating that person until you see them in community. You need to see them engaging community. You need to see them engaging their community. And if you look at it and say, well, they don't have community, well, then they're not satisfied single. I can tell you that right now. Because we learned last week that being engaged in community is critical to being satisfied single. And you know, you do not want to be all of someone else's community. So do they have community? Are you able to see them in that? Are you able to bring them into your community, which hopefully you have? Satisfied singles don't exist alone. They're in communities. And this is actually something that you should think to when you're looking at, okay, well, who? Think less about the individual and think more about communities. Because satisfied singles exist in communities, and so look for the communities less than the individual. You'll find the individual in the community. But you're looking at, okay, I need to be able to see this lived out. Because the best relationships are not relationships where we look at one another and say, you completely. No, it's people who are complete, and then they step into relationship with one another. And so you want to see, okay, are they actually satisfied? Are they in a relationship with God where they're experiencing that? Or are they, and this is the way that my son would say it, or are they thirsty? Some of you are too old to know what that is, but I'm cool, so I do. In other words, do they need someone to complete them? And so the natural outworking of last week is, okay, I realize, well, I should identify someone who's living out what we talked about. It's a natural first principle. Someone who understands it's not good to be alone. Someone who's experiencing from him so that he or she can give to others so that they can love well. But pay attention to this, and this is another thing that you should look for. And as we walk through this, you should take this seriously, because some of you are in that dating relationship and you have a list. Maybe you've written it down, maybe you haven't, but you have a list of what it is that you're looking for in someone else. And you've identified, okay, well, I'm attracted to, and you have this list that you have of what your non-negotiables are. Well, the first one should be, are they experiencing God in such a way that they are satisfied single? Not that they don't want to be in a relationship, but they know that he's the one who completes them so that from that they can love. But pay attention to this, and this is principle number two. I want to be committed to someone who knows how to love, not worship. To someone who knows how to love, not worship. Matthew 22, Jesus says this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. Philippians chapter 2 says this. He's talking about Jesus. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen to me. When we come to Scripture and as God steps into our lives, he says, you worship one. You worship one. And it's important for you to know, there's a difference between love and worship. Unfortunately, inside of our culture, we have created this dynamic where we actually value being worshiped more than we value being loved. And some of you, you don't want to be loved. You don't value that at all. You value being worshiped. And social media has taken this to a whole different level. And when you look at that and you say, man, I want to feel the love, those likes are not love. That's worship. I want to be worshiped. And there's, you listened to that song earlier, and a lot of you are like, wait, I love that song. Don't ruin that song for me, Chris. I love that song. And listen, there's nothing wrong with romance. As a matter of fact, when you come to Scripture, there's an entire book that's written that about romance. And there's nothing wrong with that in your life, but be very careful that you don't buy into the idea of being worshiped. Be very careful with that. And unfortunately, I know a lot of people who are loved really well, but they're phenomenally discontent because they want to be worshiped, not loved. They want to be the focus of the other person's entire life. I mean, this is the definition of the Instagram husband. And it's a real thing. And obviously, that's taken to extremes. But inside of our culture, this has become so significant. And so we really look at it and we say, well, I want to find someone who's obsessed with me. I want to find someone who thinks they can't be complete without me. I want to find someone who thinks about me all the time. You should not consume someone else's thoughts. No, there is one who should consume our thoughts. But for many of us, we've bought into the idea of being worshipped instead of loved. And you're attracted to those who worship you, even though they're terrible at loving. I find this oftentimes in abusive relationships, because abusive people can be really good at worshiping in between the moments of abuse. And they abuse. And then they come back, I'm sorry, you're amazing. And they worship until they abuse again. And what you need to realize is that you're attracted to the wrong thing. You're attracted to worship, not love, because that's not love. And what you're looking for is someone who actually knows how to love. You do not want someone who worships you. You want someone who worships God and therefore loves you. Listen to me, this is so important. You want someone who worships God. They're obsessed with. They're consumed by Him. And therefore they love you really well. And love is defined. This is not just something out there. And when God steps into our lives and he begins to talk to us about love, he doesn't talk about romance. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, love is patient. And this is the moment where God says, I've been telling you to love. I've been calling you to love one another. Jesus says, I want you to love each other the way that I've loved you. I want to make sure that you don't miss the definition of this. And so he walks them through it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Is not proud. as it continues. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is what love is. You say, oh, I'm attracted to love. And you talk about romance is great if it's built on this. If it's in addition to this, it should never be a replacement for this. And this is what you should value in someone else. Can they? Do they? Do I watch them live this out? I don't care how romantic the relationship is. If they are self-seeking and proud and rude and they're not patient, you're setting yourself up for a disaster. I want someone who worships God and therefore loves me and loves the people around me. And so let me ask you something. What are you looking for? And this is no matter where you are in a relationship, whether some of you are here today and you're married, what are you looking for? I'm telling you, it's amazing to me how many people are discontent in their marriage. Not because they're not loved well. No, they're loved well, but they're not worshiped. Are you actually loved well? You should value that. You should value that. And you should strive and work for affection and romance and all of that on top of this. But this is what's most important. And so you're looking for, okay, does this person know how to love well? And parents, too, pay attention to this principle. Pay attention to this principle because sometimes I think we feed into this a little bit, and I know you don't mean it this way, but I would caution you against this. You should be very careful about calling your kids princes and princesses. We don't believe in monarchies. This is not Saudi Arabia. We don't believe it, no. And here's why you should be careful about it, because it feeds into the worship culture. No, we do not exist to worship you. We are not here to serve you. The world does not exist to serve you. You are not a prince. Nope. And here, listen to me. This is actually significant. As God steps into our life, he says this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. He says, this is what you should teach. He says, no, humility. And I'm not saying, and I know this is what you mean to do, because I know you mean to step into their life and to be able to let them know you are beautiful and you are wanted and God has created you to do something special. I mean, you go back to our Ephesians conversation. You should be reinforcing that in your kids' lives all the time. You are not a mistake. You were created on purpose, for a purpose. There are things God planned before the beginning of this story for you to do, and it matters if you step into it. And you matter in this story. You should be reinforcing all of that, but be very careful with the worship conversation. Because God says, no, this is what we should be teaching. And we don't want our kids to grow up and find someone who worships them. We want them to find someone who loves them. And that's what it is that we should be drawn to. The application of this, the only way I could figure out how to say it, walk away from worshipers and pursue lovers. Didn't find that funny at all, huh? Wow, you're uptight. Interesting. I told you when we started this series, whenever we start talking about relationships, you guys get uptight. Every time. We want to make sure that we find someone who loves us well. Principle 3, do not be unequally yoked. Now, this is an obvious principle. coming out of everything that we've talked about. Because what is the foundation of everything that we've talked about for the last 2 weeks? The foundation for the last 2 weeks is you have to be in a relationship with God in order to be able to love the way that we're talking about. Everything we're talking about is finding completion in Him, finding that relationship in Him so that we can love others. Well, if that's the foundation, then obviously, then this doesn't work if you're in a relationship with someone who doesn't believe that God is the one who completes you. This doesn't work if you're in a relationship with someone who doesn't believe that, no, I receive from Him so that I can give to others. And God clearly teaches us this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And He continues to build on this. He says, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? He says, no, listen, don't step into a committed relationship. And this is a principle. He's not specifically talking here about romantic relationships. He's talking about all kinds of relationships. He's talking about committed relationships. And He says, listen, I want for you to be very, He says, don't step into that with someone who is not serious about who God is, who isn't engaging and experiencing this relationship with God the way that I've called you to. And I know some of you are here saying, oh, I knew you were going to go here. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go here because I love you. And as I've walked through the past 15 years, I've watched people ignore what God has to say about this. And over and over and over again, I've watched the destructiveness of it. And great relationships are experienced by individuals who are experiencing that with Him and then stepping into one another's lives from both directions. And so God says, listen, take this very seriously. And this is not, let me be really clear about this. This is not that someone calls themselves a Christian. That means you and I both know that could mean anything. Every political person I know is a Christian in some way, shape, or form. And it clearly means nothing. This isn't about calling yourself a Christian. This is, okay, are they pursuing God? Do I see them? This is another reason why you need to see them inside a community. Are they actually pursuing God? My wife talks about a spiritual chemistry. She says, we have physical chemistry, intellectual chemistry, and then we have spiritual chemistry. And it's just really built on this idea that we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so there's different aspects with which we love God. Clearly, He's calling us to love one another with these different aspects. And so there's this part of us, our soul, our spirit, and this idea of having spiritual chemistry and this idea that we're pursuing God. And what you're trying to find is someone who's pursuing God in the same way, not just that they call themselves a follower of Jesus. What does that look like? Do they actually have a relationship with Jesus? Because the relationship that I have with someone else shouldn't keep me from Him. It should move me towards Him. And you look at that passage that we looked at last week in 1 Corinthians where it says, listen, I think it's actually better for you to not be married because then you don't have to worry. You can focus on what it is that God's called you to. Well, what you're looking for in a relationship is someone who actually helps you to do that better. Someone who values and is pursuing Him in the same way. Let me just take you to that passage in Corinthians really quickly again, just to remind you of it. He says, I would like for you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs and how he can please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit, but a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. He says, listen, I want for you to be able to give everything to the mission, that purpose that you were created for, those things that you were created to do before this whole story started. I want for you to be able to give everything to that. And so what you're looking for is someone who helps you do that better, someone who's doing the same thing. What I love about this is that Matt, who sang the song at the beginning, He actually experienced this. So Matt recently got married, and Matt actually met the individual that he was going to marry here at Hoboken Grace. And the reason that they met is because she threw herself into this, and she's been a Grace Kids teacher for years. And then he threw himself into it, and he was part of the worship team here. And then one day, they said, huh. And what I love about this is that for the past 15 years, we've watched that happen over and over and over again here at Hoboken Grace. In a couple of months, I'm doing a wedding of two individuals who are both on our first impressions team, and they were both greeters. And as they're throwing themselves into the mission, all of a sudden, one day they looked over and said, huh. But it wasn't that they were pursuing someone. It was that they were pursuing him. They were pursuing the one who loves them most, and all of a sudden they looked over and saw someone who's doing the same thing. This is my story. For those of you who don't know, Anna, my wife, she's my younger sister's best friend. I'm that guy. And we didn't start dating because we decided to pursue each other. We actually started dating because she started going to college in South Jersey, and I was working in college ministry in New York City, and we started having conversations about how do we reach college students. And she'd call me up and say, hey, we're planning this event, we're thinking about doing this, we had this conversation, and I'd call her and be like, hey, this is what we're thinking. And so we just started talking about the mission, and then one day we had a conversation and both of us were like, huh. And it was awkward, super awkward. But you say, well, how, who? That's what God teaches us about how to engage this. We don't worship relationships. We don't idolize them. We don't think that, man, life is found in getting married. No, we get rid of the idol of marriage and relationships, and we realize, no, I'm not completed by another person. I'm completed by the one who created me. We get rid of the idol, we experience that relationship, we dive into the mission and the purpose that he's given us, the things that before the beginning of the story he created us to do. And then we pay attention in community. We pay attention in community. So we all identify, huh, we could actually do this better together. Wow, they're good at loving. Oh, they're engaging community the way God calls them to. Huh. I wonder if we could do this better together. And then you start to explore that. That's who. And with your list of, okay, what is it that I want in a relationship? For a lot of us, we need to change what's at the top of that list and what's most significant in that list. And for those of you who are younger, as you're beginning to date, you need to be very careful with what's at the top of that list. And does it actually reflect what God has taught us? And I do want to speak to this because whenever we talk about being unequally yoked, I know some of you are here and you're in committed relationships. And as God steps into that situation, he doesn't actually call us to leave those relationships because you're married. I'm not talking about you're dating seriously. I'm talking about for those of you who are married to someone who's not a believer. He says, but it's amazing what God can do in their life through your love, through your faithfulness. If you're here and you're in a relationship, you're not married, but you're in a relationship with an unbeliever, I do think that
that you should walk away from that. Now, some of you are here, and God's been knocking on your door for a long time, and you need to say yes. It's time for you to step into that relationship. But you can't walk into a relationship and have this whole aspect of who you are not be part of it. Everything that we've been talking about, you can't live it out fully the way that God has called you to. It's funny because oftentimes when I'm in a conversation with a couple who's in that situation, I'll talk to the individual who doesn't believe in Jesus, and I'll tell them, I say, you should probably end this relationship. I'll say, what are you talking about? I said, well, if they ever get serious about their faith, they're going to ruin your life. They're going to give away your money, and they're going to send your kids overseas. It's going to be really bad. Because God wants you to be in a relationship with someone where you're both pursuing Him with all that you have. But again, I know some of you are married, and that's not the situation. God says, no, you love. You love in that situation, and you demonstrate exactly what we've been talking about, what love actually looks like. And God can do some amazing things. And God can rescue some really dark situations. And so you trust Him and you follow Him in that way. It's amazing how God, and this is what I love about God. He doesn't just say, I've adopted you into my family. What I love about God is that He really does come alongside of us. If we're paying attention to His word and we're engaging it, He really does come alongside of us like a dad and take our hand. He doesn't just say, hey, figure it out. No, He takes our hand. He says, I want to lead you through it. I want to lead you through it. And that's what He wants to do with each and every one of us, if we're willing to follow. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we look at this today, that it would begin to shift maybe what it is that we're pursuing. It would begin to shift maybe who it is that we're becoming and what we want to be, who we want to be. Father, I thank You for the way that You love us. Thank You for the way that You teach and instruct us. Father, we want to follow well. In Jesus' name, amen.